All right, let's begin our teaching today. We'll take our text to start today's teaching from the book of Genesis chapter 1. You know, last time I talked about the fight of faith. And that's, you know, if you remember along the line, I said that I actually want to begin to talk about something that I did not know exactly how to put a title to it. So we'll just continue talking, and I hope along the line we'll have a title for it. But the center of what I want to be teaching beginning from now, we'll add last week to it, is actually on the supremacy of the believer over the devil. Now, it's not a topic I like teaching, but all you need to do is watch television and you know you have to explain some things to people. All you need to do is listen to Christians and you know that they really have serious problems. You know, yeah, really, let's just put these things together and help people understand them. Along the line, I'll talk about again, which I have taught here again and again, but let's put it together. I'll talk about the issue of curses again. What does a believer need? What we call deliverance. It's important. Last time I started by explaining the issue of the fight of faith. Paul said we should fight the fight of faith. I explained that faith is a fight, which means that life will try to prove to you that you are wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? It will try to prove to you that what you claim to believe is not accurate. And we're going to read that in a moment. In fact, just quickly, let's read this. This was where we ended last time, the book of Genesis chapter 3. You see, when after God placed the man and the woman in the garden, one day, if you read from verse 1, he said, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any of the tree of the garden?'" And please notice this. He asked a question. He was trying to undermine the integrity of the word of God in the heart of the woman. And the woman answered, "Yes. What he said is this." Verse 2. "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." Please notice verse 4. "And the serpent said to the woman, 'You surely shall not die.'" Notice that. God said, "The day you eat of it, you will die." Then serpent said what? "Surely you are not going to die." That's what he does. In fact, what I want to talk about today is what I call the schemes of the devil. Yes, I think that's a good title for my teaching today. The schemes of the devil. I took that word from the New American Standard Bible when Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said that it was describing some things, that let's not allow the devil space in our midst by unforgiveness. He said, "For we are not ignorant of his schemes." If you have the King James, it says the devices. So you can also say we are talking about the devices of the devil. So I just titled it the schemes of the devil. Now, let me just emphasize this to us. I don't want to just waste the time reading all of this. We know this context very well. Let me quickly get into what I want to teach. I just feel like talking about the power of the devil. Just I don't feel like teaching, putting the title of my message. Are you getting my point? You want to buy a CD and it's titled "The Power of the Devil." Yeah, it sounds like a deliverance ministry. I don't run a deliverance ministry. And you see why it is not necessary to run a deliverance ministry in a moment. Are you getting my point? You should just teach the word of God. What delivers people is the word of God. You cannot cast out devils by force from people that don't want to release the devil. And I have watched TV enough, that is, watch all these operations. And I've been where people are doing things like this. Take my word for it. 9 times out of 10, there are no devils in those places. And I can prove it to you. You want to prove it to you? Go and check it. 9 times out of 10 people they are delivering are women. And that's how you know it's an emotional problem. You see, once you see women concentrated in something, now, it shows you that it is likely to be an emotional problem. Go and read through the scriptures. Jesus delivered the devil from men. He delivered from women. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, all of them. But once you just see, you get to a church, everyone's deliverance. You just scan like this, eh? All the people will go for deliverance. There are 15 of them. 14, now women. Just notice an emotional operation that is going on. Are you getting my point? I was watching one episode of Touched by an Angel the other day. That's a few days ago in my house. And the guy was, whooping everybody up, put up a feather. And as he just went, as he touched one woman, she began to vibrate and she fell into her seat. Listen, all those things, it doesn't mean the guy has power. I was watching one guy on the TV the other day say he wants to demonstrate. And he began to demonstrate. He was demonstrating. I wonder whether he was the one that had a demon or the people that he claimed he was delivering. Do you follow my point? Sometimes you are confused. Do you get my point? Are you the one that has the spirit or the people? Because when you look like this, you know, I don't know who's under the influence, whether it is you or the people. Yes, you see what I'm saying as I'm going on. A lot of times people say, I engage in deliverance. Let me tell you what they need deliverance from. Believe me, it's deliverance from ignorance. That is what most people need. Deliverance from ignorance. A lot of people have emotional problems. They are calling it the devil. You know, I said before, some people are dreaming. They are dreaming. They said that people are chasing me in my dream. If you are owing everybody, people will chase you in your dream. It doesn't mean anything. I'm telling you, all your creditors will gather together, and in your dream, that's where they are going to catch you. It does not mean it's the devil. Listen, please. I am not saying the devil does not exist. So, please, get me clear. I am not saying the devil does not have his own operations. But you see along the line that there's what the Bible calls deliverance from the domain of Satan. And I'm talking to Christians. I'm not a teacher of unbelievers. I'm not a teacher of those who are seeking entertainment. I'm a teacher of believers. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? So you that I'm a teacher at all, I am telling you the devil doesn't have that kind of power over your head to be keeping you awake at midnight. Arrant nonsense. I feel like setting the things straight in this series of teachings so that Christians will understand it. There was a time, some time ago, I taught on radio. That was the first time, you know, I was a very popular preacher in Enugu. The way of success. Everybody, in quote, loved me, apart from a few demon-possessed people. Everybody loved me. Then one day, I talked on the power of death and the victory that's in Christ Jesus. That was the day I began to realize that I was not as loved as I thought. And check it. All the people that were angry were deliverance preachers. Why? Because I got up and declared openly that people don't need deliverance like they need the entrance of the Word of God. People were sending text messages that some people can't live without it. Yes, listen, there are people who can't live without their psychiatrists. It's an emotional thing. You are massaging them, you understand? I have seen people who, the problem they have, it's very common. In fact, if you listen to Kenneth Hagin a lot, and he's one of those people that blessed me, you know, I talk about him a lot when I'm teaching. He said once they called him, please, oh, they have been praying for one woman, come out, come out, come out, go in, step aside, do everything. The devil did not shift. So they went and called Kenneth Hagin and said, please come and help us with the serious case of deliverance that we have here. They got there. Kenneth Hagin said, he just thought about it. He said, get me a glass of water. So they thought he was thirsty. They brought one big, you know, glass of water and he threw it in the woman's face. This is somebody that they've been praying for a long time. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Manifest, don't manifest, dismanifest. You know, all kinds of things. The young called the man, he reached there. Give me a glass of water. He threw it in the woman's face. The woman just said, oh, what is that, what is that, what is that? He said, listen, my friend, behave yourself. That's what he told the woman. I never met her before. I just said, my friend, behave yourself. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. You know there is nothing wrong with you. You're just pretending so that you get attention from your husband because you think that when you behave like this, he will think there is something wrong and he'll give you attention. Say, get away, my friend, there's nothing wrong with you. The woman began to cry. Say, actually, since she was a child, she knew that was the easy way to get attention. She used to throw tantrums at home to get her parents' attention. When she got married, she continued to throw tantrums to get her husband's attention. In most churches, they would have called a deliverance meeting for that woman. In fact, they were doing it that time until they called a man that had understanding. Are you getting my point? Listen, I said this is one thing about Christianity. Faith, get my point. Faith doesn't mean we deny what people claim is there. Faith means we have superior understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, you know, I say this all the time. I'm not saying the devil does not exist. Witches don't exist. I know they exist. There are those who are under their power. There are those who are in the domain of darkness. And the devil wake up in the morning, break their head, chew it for breakfast. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, they exist. But there are those that have been delivered. And I'm talking to people like that. So an understanding of the fact that you have been delivered is the way by which you walk above the devil. So when I tell you there are no witches, what I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they don't exist. And I've been saying it for years. I don't say it in the secret. I've said it on radio. I say it on television. I say it everywhere. If they are there, yeah, now try now. Are you getting my point? I'm doing this series just to put this thing in order so that people will have understanding. Because this is what will be your stability in this life. Is the amount of understanding, the knowledge of the word of God that you have. That's what will keep you stable. So that you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There are people who are just afraid of the devil. If a man is going on the road, he does it like this. You go see. And you're like, what are you? You go and you start praying. Yeah, your prayer is a sign that you believe him. There's a story I tell all the time. I like this story. I've told it so many times. I read it from Derek Prince. I heard it from him. He was teaching. He said one day he was delivering one woman of an evil spirit. Now, this is not the demon, play, we are talking about. And he commanded the spirit to come out. And you see things like that in the scriptures. Jesus cast out demons. And that's one of the marks of Christianity. We indeed cast out demons. And this woman had a familiar spirit. They come to your church and be calling, your phone number is 08099255555. It does not mean anything. People use familiar spirits. They use familiar spirits. You know there are things you can't use to harass me. You come to me and say, I see that you have a car, it is black. You describe the car for me. Everybody who walks around me knows. So the demons that infest you, they should also know. And one of their major problems in life, they should know the car I drive. Do you get my point? People easily get enticed by little manifestations of demons. Listen, it's there in the scriptures. There was one little girl that the master profited, are you getting me? From her divination because she had a familiar spirit. A lot of people go to churches where they use familiar spirits to tell them, yesterday, you and your wife quarreled at 12 midnight, and she held up, and you are shocked because they are so dead accurate. It shocks you. Let me tell you the truth. They are called the spirits that peep and mutter. They go around neighborhood checking what is going on. Yes. They are called familiar spirits because they are familiar with people. And the devil has a network of them. They call themselves. They have their own numbers. You get my point? As you are approaching that white garment church, the evil spirit has been following you around. That's the guy is in there. Yeah, that's him. He has come. His secret name. He gives them your secret name. He heard you discussing with your friend one day. And you're like, how does he know? How did he know? Is the power of God? No. They are called familiar spirits. Let me tell you, one of the defenses you have against this operation of the devil is to go for God and his word alone. That way, nobody will be able to deceive you. Ignorance. That's what the devil feeds on. As I want to talk about the devil, the devices of the devil. The president was casting his familiar spirit out of this woman. And the woman just looked at him and said, you know the way they see visions. That was a white woman. So her vision is likely to have been calm. You get my point? Listen. All this behavior depends on the kind of mentality you had. It's not the Holy Spirit at all. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or the evil spirit. So the woman just said, look, I see you in a red car wrapped around a tree. That's a white man's way of saying that the car crashed into a tree. All right? And then the whole thing was wrecked. And the man just said to her calmly, oh, that's not a problem. That's the devil's plan. I don't work in the devil's plan. There was no prayer about it. Hey, if it's my brethren. Hey. Hello. Pray for me. They saw me in a red car. They say I'm going to die. Listen, don't give yourself to any unsolicited prophecy that brings fear into your life. You hear what I said? Unsolicited prophecies. A man suddenly comes. You don't know him from anywhere. Or a woman shows up. You go church. You go strange church. You see there this talk. You know it's a demon that's talking. Oh, if you don't fast and pray, somebody's going to die in your family. There's no family that people don't die periodically. Listen. I went for a funeral a few days ago. An elderly man sat beside me, and he was talking with us that this, in the last 2 weeks, he has buried 4 family members. He's not cursed. He's old. I don't know what I get on saying. The people he's going for their funerals, their uncles, aunties, cousins, and they are old. It's the season of his life. Are you getting what I'm explaining? And then he said, you have not been able to sleep. Pray for your family members every day, and don't let any stranger come and entice you. A man I met then in Lagos, they said he has been delivered. He used to be in bondage. One of these funny churches delivered him. What I couldn't understand is that this guy was so deaf, he did not, or dull of heart, he did not know the meaning of the word deliverance. How can they say they delivered you? You know, you can't sleep in your house again.
And that's deliverance. He lived alone in a big duplex in Lagos. He couldn't sleep there. He had been delivered. Where was he sleeping? He now sleeps with a white piece of cloth. They give him a white cloth. He used to cover himself on the church bench. You hear what I said? On what? Church bench. You know what they call pew? Pew is mahogany. You know what I'm saying? Paco. This man was sleeping on pew. And you know, that thing is so hard. Since it can't bend, now you go bend. You know, when you sleep on foam, the foam will bend for you. Your life will have comfort. But since the pew cannot bend, he's the one that will bend. And he was celebrating deliverance. You know what happened to him? The demons exchanged him. You hear what I said? The demons did what? They exchanged him. The ones that were troubling him at home gave him over to the ones that were holding him in church. That church he was going to. My friend was a teacher in the school they had close by there. I tell little boy, go and tell him. He's not delivered yet. That's why Jesus said, he that the Son shall set free is free. Is free how? Indeed. Is free how? Indeed. Wherever he sleeps, he's free there. Anybody who delivers you and says, it is now okay with you. But you must not go on the road between Enugu and Onitsha. Has just exchanged you. You're not free indeed. If they say you have been delivered, but the clause is that between 2 and 4 a.m. every day, you must be awake praying. You are not indeed free yet. Are you getting my point? You have been healed slightly. You have not been delivered by Christ Jesus. Because when Jesus delivers you, you are free indeed. All those ones that have clauses, you have been delivered though. But for this, your deliverance to be permanent, you must regularly give this proportion of your income to our church. You are not yet delivered. I've seen them before. I hear of men of God that threaten. Listen, let me tell you something. The devil can walk through some people who claim to be men of God. And the day before, they were genuine men of God. If any man tells, there's one of my, a man will tell the church members, if you don't do this, I will close the heavens over your head. Leave that church. The first day you hear it, walk out. Because you are not free indeed. If the keys of your blessing is in the hand of your pastor, you are in bondage. If a man can lay claim to your blessing as being in his hands so he can switch it off when you displease him, you are in bondage. A man tells you, he tells you, I will close the heavens over your head. Why? Because you didn't bring the correct amount of money. You should know you are not free indeed. Listen. The only clause God ever puts to his deliverance is not even a clause. It's a warning. Go and do what? Sin no more. You see, that's what I'm talking about today. The schemes of the devil. Because sin is the door through which the devil enters. So when the Lord has sent him out, he'll tell you, boy, keep that door closed. That's all. That's all. That is all. That is all. Listen, I said, you know, before I went into this talking about familiar spirits, I said, I'm talking to believers, and I want them to understand where they stand in regards to their freedom in Christ Jesus, especially as it relates to the devil. That's what I want to talk about, his works, his schemes, his devices. Let me start by saying like this. I don't want to do theology of where the devil came from. I don't think it's relevant to what I'm discussing. Whether he was first an angel that was playing flute in heaven, none of my business. All I know is that in the Bible, in chapter 3, he was introduced. If you read in Revelations, he was said that, look, this is the, in fact, there was a way he was talked about. That's emphasizing the fact that he's both Satan and the devil. Anyway, what I want to bring out is the fact that there are two names used to describe him. He said, and it's the same person. Satan and the devil. We are talking about the same person
when you are talking about him. That's Revelation chapter 20. Just to introduce him properly, they say, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old. That is the one we know about from Genesis. That's what he's talking about. Who is the devil and the Satan? That's what I want to explain. The serpent of old, who is also known as the devil, and other times we call him Satan. Oswald Chambers says something interesting about that word, Satan, that is used under certain conditions when the devil is operating through a man. That Jesus will look at Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. That Satan is an agreement between a man and the devil. That when a man has yielded to the devil, he becomes Satan. That is, the agreement, the arrangement between the two of them is called Satan. But anyway, the point is this. When you see the word Satan, the word devil is talking about the same person. That's all I want to talk about. Where he came from, I'm not interested right now. I want to discuss exactly how he operates. I was saying what I was saying earlier about how the devil tries to, when people are free, indeed, Christians. I wanted to explain something, that he doesn't have the power that people think he has. Please, I want to explain that. You've heard me say it a lot of times. Let me say this to you. You can't be traveling on the road and the devil just say, I want to give this car an accident. He doesn't have that power. He has the desire. He doesn't have the power. I'll just say it clearly. The devil cannot wake up in the morning and say, let me make this man sick. He doesn't have the power. He has the desire. He does not have the power. The devil can't just decide, say, all right, this one, I'm going to wreck his life. I'm going to make sure he dies early. I'm going to make sure he marries, doesn't have children. I'm going to make sure he doesn't have a wife. I'm going to make sure his business collapses. He doesn't have the power. He has the desire. He does not have the power. Please, I need to emphasize this. The devil cannot say you will never marry. He wishes, but he can't. The devil cannot say you will never prosper. Listen, he does not have the power. Let's understand the power the devil has. Let us understand it. What does he do? Let me really get into that. That's what I'm talking about today. We're discussing what? The schemes or his devices. I looked at a few scriptures, highlighted them out, just to point out something. Because of time, let me just rush through a number of them. If you're writing, you can write them down. Let me give you the first one. After the book of Genesis chapter 3. No, we're reading. We didn't even finish reading. Did we finish reading it? No. But you can see what happened at Genesis chapter 3. It's serpent of old, who is also the devil and Satan, right? What did he do to Eve? He came to persuade Eve about something. And the Bible says that Eve was deceived. That was his aim. Read Revelation chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. This is his activity. Not who kills the whole world. His job is what? To deceive the whole world. Your fight of faith is to fight his deception in your life. That's one of the fights he fights. What he does is what? Deceive. He masquerades as an angel of light. The aim is to what? Deceive. These are the schemes of the devil. Number one, deception. Now, I'm going to mention different words. Some of them will overlap in meaning and in application. But please, just follow me. Then you see, now after that Genesis, I just scanned through the scripture. The next place I saw the devil highlighted, in the Old Testament, you don't see much about the devil discussed. You read the whole New Testament, the whole Old Testament, talking about the activities of the devil, you see very few references. A lot of the other references you find are implied. There's one that people say, talking about the devil, I've read it again and again, I have never found why they say it's the devil. Because the Bible says, thou art a man. He was talking about Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know why they were calling it the devil, but maybe they are right. Just that nobody has explained it to me. Now, If you look through all the scriptures, you find somewhere else where it's called maybe the Prince of Tyre, stuff like that. But when you want to see the devil being described almost directly, there are very few references. Very, very few. The reason is because, you see it along the line, the devil is not important in the life of the believer who is holding tightly to the word of God. He's not. The only thing, and that's the issue God had with Israel. Israel is, listen, I've given you commandments. If thou shalt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to obey all the commandments I'm commanding you today, the Lord thy God shall set you up above that. You just start pouring blessings upon them. But if you disobey, this is what will happen. The devil had no business there. And if you see the scriptures, the only thing the devil could do in relation to that was to incite disobedience. Disobedience was the problem. It was not the power of the devil. And the devil knows it. We are the ones that don't know it. Why I needed to emphasize what I said earlier, that the devil can't just kill you. He can't wake up and just kill you. He can't. He can't wake up and ruin your business. He does not have the power. If you know that, you will know if you have a problem. Do you understand? In life, you don't ever think it's just the devil that's fighting you. Because he can't. One word you will see in the scriptures, a phrase used to describe the devil by the power he has, he said, he that had the power of death. That God, Jesus came to destroy him that had the power of death. You must understand that thing. The power of death we are talking about is that the Bible says that God has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked man for his role in the day of destruction. When God wants to unleash wrath on some people, he gives that right to do it to the devil. Listen, even though he goes out to destroy, he must always, every single time, obtain permission before he does it. He hated Job with all hatred. The only thing he could do, that is the next thing the devil does. I'm talking about what? Deception. Okay, before I go into the next one the devil does, the next thing I mentioned here, but let me just highlight it. If you read, you know, I was saying that the only thing he can do in relation to destroying Israel was to do what? Incite what? Disobedience. So you go and see 1 Chronicles chapter 21. In verse 1, the Bible says, then Satan stood up against Israel. He was angry with Israel. Therefore, he stood up against them and decided to fight them. No, he didn't. He decided to tempt David to number Israel. Go and check it. His anger is manifested in intense temptation towards the Christian. Go and read it. 1 Chronicles 21. Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. I'm not talking about what was wrong with what David did, but the fact that when Satan was angry with Israel, what he could do was to do what? Tempt. And you see along the line, Satan never, he's not stupid. Satan, unless he's totally desperate, he never tempts you in the area of your strength. He's not stupid. He only tempts you in the area of your weakness. That's why Paul said, let's be careful, lest Satan take advantage of us. He only tempts you in the area of your weakness. He does not tempt you in the area of your strength. He's not that stupid. Unless he's totally desperate, that is, he has checked, there's nothing left. And there are things that are common to mankind. Pride being one of them. So anytime a man is full of revelations, you get my point? He's full of the power of God. Go and read the Lester Sumrall's, I think it's Pioneers of Faith, or Champions of Faith. I've forgotten the name of the book, and I think it's Pioneers of Faith by Lester Sumrall. You can also read God's Generals by Robert Sladen. You see these principles there when this man analyzed some great men who fell. One of them, Lester Sumrall talked about, was one man that was so powerfully used by God, the power of God was pulsating from his hands.
they began to feel tough. And they began to look, they said, look, the whole world is bowing down at my feet now to worship me. And the devil said, thank you very much. Thanks for cooperating with us to destroy your life. And he destroyed him. No, I'm not emphasizing. A lot of times, Christians say, this devil is never a problem. The only thing he is a tempter. You are the one that should work on your weakness. You are the one that should check the area through which, those places through which he may try to enter into your life where he brings temptation. That's why Robert Sladen said the Lord appeared to him and said, write a book. Study the lives of men that I have used in ministry. Check why they succeeded. Check why they failed. You know why? Now, I don't know whether I said this, but so that those, I'm adding my own words now, so that those coming after will learn the errors. Do you understand? That normally are found in the lives of men of God. If you want to enter into ministry as an example, like this is ministry. One of the major problems ministers have is money. Pride and money. Those are the two things. They call it gold and glory. That those who enter it, they say it's the gold and the glory. Those are the two problems that ministers have. Pride and what? Money. And nobody's too tough to say, me, I can never be proud. Once you say it, you are proud. That statement, I can never be proud, is what? Pride. Because you are thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Because Paul said, if you see anybody overtaken in an offense, if you think, that's why he said, those of you who are spiritual, you think you're spiritual. He said, listen, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Is it humility? Fearing, lest you yourself be tempted. Any man say that, me, I don't, I'm above that kind of temptation. Just know that he's dead. Yes. Now, you know what I'm saying? So he wrote the book so that young preachers can go ahead, identify problems that are common to ministry. Once they've identified it, they do two things. One, they pray, most importantly. You know, Jesus did not sin. Did he sin? Did he commit sin in his flesh? Now, what is the reason? Now, I'm not going to spend time now discussing in detail, but let me just say to you clearly. It was not because he was the Son of God. Because the Bible says, this is how it goes. He said, in the days of his flesh, he cried with much tears to him who was able to deliver him from death. And he was ahead in that he feared. He overcame sin because he prayed. He never prayed about his enemies. These Pharisees, they ain't gonna get me. These Pharisees, the devil will not get me. No. The Bible says he was ahead. He said, he that was able to deliver him from what? Death. And the wages of sin is what? Death. He was ahead in that he feared. Go and listen to one message I preached about 6 years ago titled Overcoming Evil Spirits. That's the name of the message. Overcoming Evil Spirits. Jesus did something that prevented it. He was taught about it by God. He knew what to do. So when you see such mistakes being made, don't say, I don't know what's wrong with them. You know, that's what we do. I used to do it too. I've stopped doing it now, and I hope I don't start doing it again. What do I mean? You read the Bible and say, what was wrong with these Israelites? After everything that God did for them, they were still doubting. After everything that he did, if I were the one, if it was me, never, never, for me to seriously part like this, I would still be doubting. Tofiakwa. It will never happen. The Bible says these things were recorded for what? Your learning. So when you see Israelites overtaken in an offense, you pray. Because you can see God like this. Next day, the devil will remind you that that was hallucination. There's no... one day I watched one... what do you call it? The story of Exodus. And that Ten Commandments are one of them.
And what I enjoyed about it, which I'm remembering now, is that each time a plague happened, the Bible says that, you know, God said to Moses that will harden his heart. So what does it mean to harden somebody's heart? You ask yourself. They just became stubborn. Let me tell you what it means. When something will happen, a plague will happen, hail will fall from heaven and wipe everything out. As a man is saying judgment from above, the professor of geomatic studies, whatever, you understand my point, in the Egyptian University of Environmental Sciences will show up. They'll bring him to the king. Tell the king what happened. Actually, sir, what happened was that, you know, the blasts that we have been conducting around the Niles over the last 9 months, they had released a lot of smoke into the atmosphere. And that reduced the amount of sun that was entering. So that trapped this and this. And that created... Watch CNN. You see what I'm saying? You know? That created currents like this. And then this moved like this. So it was actually to be expected. We understood. That was some of the things we thought might happen. That these climatic changes might take place. And actually, we have never seen this intensity before. But, sir, Your Excellency, what happened was that, you see, about 42 years ago, it happened, but the stones were rather small. And because of the distance of the sun from the moon relative to the earth, at this season, it's likely to increase the size of the hill. Yes, sir. Summary, it was not Moses. That's the summary. It wasn't Moses. It was not Moses. And Pharaoh will say, no wonder. Me too, I thought so. Actually, you know, it rained last week. It was surprising. You know, this is January and it rained yesterday. You know, that kind of thing. I should have known. So Moses is thinking that, man, we don't win. We just show up. I said, my friend, get out. I'll bring another plague. Now you bring that last one. Moses with vexation will get up. I'm going to produce another one. Then the professor of zoology will show. Professor of zoology and entomology. He will come up and talk about the migration of locusts at that time of the year. And Pharaoh will believe. You know what I'm saying? So you don't read the story of the Israelites and think that, don't mind them. When you read their story, what do? You pray. So when that man wrote the book, what he was saying simply is, boys, that's Robert Sliadon. This is how the devil destroys men of God. One thing I heard Pastor Poju preach one of those early days that I listened to him. Never heard it like that before. He said, every profession has its troubles. Every profession has its risks. And how did he prove it? He said, you'll see that to the soldier, they will come to John the Baptist. What must we do to be saved? He will say to them specifically, don't extort money from anybody. That is, if you're a policeman in Nigeria, you need to pray extra not to collect roja. It's not because the people who are policemen are wicked. It's the risk of their profession. And the Bible says, he that cleaveth wood will be injured by it, and he that breaks a wall, a serpent will bite him. He that digs a pit shall fall into it. The Bible was not saying, once you dig a pit, you fall. No. People now say that, in the name of Jesus, if you break a hedge, a serpent shall bite. No. What he said, these are the risks attached to these professions. They have a proverb in Yoruba, they'll say, the warrior is likely to die in battle. The expert swimmer has a risk of drowning. Are you getting my point? Pastor Panky is not likely to drown. You know why? I don't go near the water at all. It's not because I know how to swim. It's because my wife said, won't you swim? I said, this is the revelation that the Lord gave me long ago. He said, if I wanted you to swim, my son, I would have given you gills and given you fins. Since I did not do any of the above, stay on the ground. If I go near water, it's on a boat. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Did you see Jesus swim? He walked on water. All these swimming things for Peter and Co. Me, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you see water, we either enter into the boat. If we must come out of the boat, we walk on it. As for diving inside it, I'll pass.